So, before I begin, I wanted to kind of share a little bit of my own heart and share a little bit of who I am first, right? So my name is Stephanie. Now my last name is Oviol Urdaneta. Good luck with that one. and I get to serve here as staff as part of the biblical counseling team. Actually, my role here at the church has shifted and changed over the years as I've been here. So that may be news for some of you. But by God's grace, the church is also supporting me in finishing my master's degree in biblical counseling through Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and it's been a huge, huge blessing for my personal life to go through this degree, to go through all the classes, to have to sit with some of these topics and consider my relationship with God in my own heart before I share any of that with anybody else. So thank you. As you're part of this church, you are part of supporting me to be able to go through that degree, and know that I'm a resource here for you, right? If there's anything that I can help you with, or anything that I can talk to you about, or that I can maybe refer you, or just you're considering what are your options, I'm happy to sit with you and talk that through. So that's a little bit of who I am. But more importantly, why the topic of stress, right? And part of it was because Loris came to me one Sunday, and she's like, you know, I've been experiencing stress in these different situations. And then the other reason is because if I were to ask all of you, how many of you have experienced stress? I'm sure all of you would probably raise your hand, except Delora, maybe. Because she's young, and she might not know. Hi, Delora. Yeah, there it is. But it's something that is very common. Regardless of what stage of life you're in, it's very likely that you've encountered or experienced stress, that you've at some point felt overwhelmed, like life is just too much, and you've just been in a hole, or you're like, I just can't take it anymore, and you've just felt like, what can I do? Like, how can I get out of this, right? Because it's a common experience, I'm hoping that it would serve all of us then to kind of sit under God's word today in Psalm 131 and just consider, what does God have to say about this particular emotion? How can we engage with it? How can we actually learn from it instead of trying to suppress it or trying to avoid it or just trying to dismiss it? It's like, no, I'm not stressed. I'm just going to keep on going. I've got a lot to do, right? So how can we actually engage with this particular emotion that is so common to so many of us, right? And in a very real way, it's because this psalm and this topic has spoken to my own life, right? It has been, in some ways, a stressful semester, a stressful few months. I am in the middle of my internship with counseling, so there's a lot of reading, a lot of things that I have to do. I'm also getting to work here at the church, transitioning to be a wife to Samuel. Some of you may not know, but also I am expecting, right? So I'm also transitioning into that role. I know. I wasn't sure if to share that or not, but I got permission. So it's like there's a lot of shifts and changes. But actually, I think for both of us, or somewhere for me, one of the most stressful situations, and here it comes. I'm also a crybaby, but I'm going to blame the hormones. is that through this process, right? So my husband is from Venezuela. And since we got married, we've been engaging with immigration to be able to then get his paperwork, particularly his work permit. And it's been months of... I think I am going to need the napkin, but I feel weird. That's okay. I'll hold it in. It's just been stressful, right? Of like a lot of details to carry. A lot of waiting. A lot of being patient, right? And sitting with it. I mean, Lord, what do you want to do in the midst of it? Thank you. I think I might just need to hold it. Perfect. All for me, none for you. No, it's okay. So it's just been stressful of like thinking, okay, Lord, what happens? And by God's grace, we've been so faithfully provided and looked out for it. Like there's nothing that we have to complain. But the sitting and the waiting, the silence, the Lord, when will it come? Like, how will we know, right? And to see him walking through that, right? And it's because I get to go to work every day, right? I get to go out and do something. He's like, what do I do? How do I provide for our family, right? How can I be the husband that I'm going to be? It's hard. It's stressful. So even in my own heart, I've had to learn to, what do I do when everything feels overwhelming? Where do I turn to? How do I speak, right? But as you can see probably with my face, it's hard. So I'm going to encourage you and I'm going to invite you after you've had a sufficient and a delicious meal, that we would just take a time to take a deep breath, that we would all be willing in some ways to slow down for a few minutes while we're here sitting at the table. I'm going to be asking some hard questions potentially. Some of them for us to be able to share with one another, others just for personal reflection and for you to just sit and write on your notebook, journal, or if you need paper, we've got some paper on the table. We have more if you need any more. But I'm just going to encourage you that for the time that you've set apart for this morning, that we would leave in some ways our to-do list behind, that we would just sit, consider, and allow the Spirit to show us what's in our heart, that we would, instead of suppressing or trying to dismiss or avoid what may be overwhelming or causing anxiety in our lives today, that we may maybe allow it to come to the surface, but only so that we would encounter even more so the hope that we have in Christ as we move through Lord, that psalm. Is that okay? Yes? Now, you also have permission. I'm going to be asking some questions to the big group. I'm going to encourage you to share briefly so that we can get as many people to share as possible. But also, if that's overwhelming to you, that's perfectly okay. You don't feel any pressure to have to speak up. We're also going to have times of personal reflection at the table where you're going to get to just sit and talk and with yourself and write on that paper. And we're also going to have a time for table discussion. So hopefully with one of those, you'll be able to engage and interact with, right? So what does our time together look like? Three main things. The first one, we're going to encounter stress. Together, we're going to define it. What does stress mean? How does it manifest in our lives? How do we experience stress, right? So together, we're going to sit and define it. And we're going to be then looking at countering stress biblically. And we're going to do that through Psalm 131. So we're going to look at those three verses and see, what does the word say? How does the word inform the way that we engage with stress, right? And then we're going to finish with a table discussion that is hopefully going to, again, help us engage back to Christ and be like, okay, where does our hope come from, right? How are we able then to move on with life after we live from this beautiful setting and this pause that we've made in our Saturday? How do we engage with regular life and actually put into practice what we're learning here today? So that's, it's simple. It's hopefully going to be pretty straightforward. And I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Yes? Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, you are our God. We gather here this morning because you have allowed us to have one more day to see your mercies, to be able to count our blessings, and to come before your throne of grace. You are the God who ordains our days. And we thank you that you have called us by name for those who are in Christ, that you know exactly what is going on in our heads and in our hearts right at this moment. Some of us may be terrified of, like, I don't want to engage my heart. Other of us may be excited of, like, yes, I've been waiting for a time to slow down and pause. And some of us are somewhere in between, not knowing what to expect. Lord, I pray, would you meet us all? May your Spirit, who is so active in our midst, would you be the one to minister to our hearts this morning? You know exactly what we need. So I pray, meet us. And may we remember as we go through this morning who we are in light of who you are and what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. For those who are in Christ, oh, we are a new creation. We are loved. We are known. We are accepted. We are approved. We have been called righteous because we are dressed with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not the life that we now live in our flesh. It is Christ who now lives in us. Remind us of that as we engage in what's going on in our heads and our hearts this morning. I thank you for this time. I pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to begin with a time of group discussion. It's just a time where I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to give you a minute or so to think about the answer, and then whoever is willing, feel free to answer. If you would give me just a few seconds to get to you and give you the mic so that we can together, everybody can hear you, yes? So in engaging the topic of stress, right? Very general question. How do you experience it? How do you experience stress in your life? How does it manifest in your life? If you were to share with us your experience of stress, what would that look like?
when I feel stress, I think it's almost like a physical response first. There's like this like quickening in my heart. And it's funny that you say like we should slow down when we have stress, because I feel like I often do the opposite. I feel like, okay, I need to go on hyperdrive. I need to get all these things done so that I can try to get them off my to-do list and not be so stressed anymore. I think that, I feel like that's the solution. And so I've heard you say this too, like prioritize the tasks over people, where I'm like, okay, I need to get these things done regardless of who I trample over. And then I often have very short, I get short with my family.
Amen. Can anyone relate to that in some ways? Yeah. Thanks, Alan, for sharing. Anybody else would be willing to share? How do you experience stress? Oh, Renee.
I do the opposite. I shut down, and there are times when I can't even get out of bed because I'm so stressed.
Thanks for sharing, Renee.
What I'm more aware of is the threat of fear that is common to all the different responses I have to stress in the different situations. There's a large amount of fear of the future that's leading me.
Fear of the future. There's threat.
Main things I can relate to that a lot is I worry, and it's not only fear of the future, but fear of what could potentially happen. So I think of every single like circumstance or thing that could happen. Most of them are usually negative, and so my mind just kind of wanders and just, I guess, worries, and it's just kind of like this like cycle.
So your mind is just in an endless cycle of what is. And all usually going towards the negative, right? Thanks for sharing. Anybody else?
When Stephanie and I were talking about this topic, I had become aware that even happy things can feel stressful. And I can relate to what Elam said about the task list. And I realized that it was sucking the joy out of happy things, and that somehow I was, happy things were becoming stressful and getting the joy sucked out. I'm like, wait a minute, I prayed for this. This is crazy. Why am I feeling stressed?
So the circumstances don't necessarily have to be chaotic or bad, right? That's just kind of where we go. Sometimes. In good and in bad.
I can relate to most of these things. I don't shut down, I go in hyperdrive as well, and I try to take matters into my own hands and control things, and I don't go to God sometimes. Most of the time when I'm too stressed.
Yes, right? It's like every to-do list seems like, oh, I just need to do this, right? So we forget that God is in the picture.
Yeah, I think you're using that word overwhelming. I think that describes it really well. It's overwhelming. And you look to other people too, not to God. So you might control by taking care of it yourself, but you also are looking to another source other than God.
So we can go to other people instead of God. Others, if I can write. Did I see your hand?
I have two things, and they're kind of the opposite. One is an instant physical digestive response. You know, I go to the bathroom a lot. And the other is eating.
Well, maybe they collaborate. Yes, but yeah, sometimes you get just like, your stomach is just uneasy. Like, your body is just so stressed that you just feel it in your gut. Some people tend to feel it like in their necks, and they're like, I just can't seem to put my shoulders down.
Okay, so yes to both of those physical responses, but even when that's not happening, sometimes I don't realize I'm stressed, but then I don't sleep. Like, my mind just goes and does all of the negative things that Leo was saying, but not sleeping well.
Yeah, isn't it incredible how our bodies respond to what's going on in our hearts? Is there someone else? Yes?
We got Heather and Nancy.
Sometimes I don't even realize that I'm stressed until I'm driving down the road and I realize I've been holding my breath. So I don't know why it happens to me in the car when I realize, oh yeah, I haven't been breathing. And then also losing my joy and all those other things too, but it's sometimes just plain old, I'm not breathing right, you know, simply.
And is it interesting how it sometimes takes us a minute to realize? It's like, oh, I haven't taken a deep breath in a while. I've just been like holding it in, and like doesn't always come to our attention. Nancy, do you want to share?
I have the same response to somebody over here. I don't sleep. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and my mind is just racing, and then there's nowhere to go unless you get up and go downstairs and pray about it, and I have done that. But then you wonder, who can I share this with? Who can I talk to? And then I think, nobody wants to hear all this. So it's fear and reluctance and sleepless. And so if you are not sleeping, then your mind the next day isn't very good either. So it's a vicious circle.
Thank you for sharing. Yes, and amen.
I often think of them as my stress behaviors, and I try to figure out what those are in different situations. I think I've come to realize that I have a mental response and also the physical response, and it's either stress is exhilarating, like there's a challenge to overcome, a problem to solve, or it becomes overwhelming, and then it becomes, I enter what I describe as fight mode, like I lack patience, I'm snapping at my kids and family, or I'm angry. But I realize there's also, I don't know, I've described it from doing a little bit of research, fight, flight, fawn, or freeze. And that has been really helpful to categorize, to better understand how I respond, to become aware of it sooner, so that I'm able to love and not push people away.
Amen. And you spoke of a word that is kind of what I'm hoping we could press into at the beginning here now. You mentioned aware, so that you can become aware of it sooner. Thank you, ladies, for sharing. I appreciate hearing you and hearing from you. And in our varied responses to stress, right, we all also have different degrees of awareness of when are we stressed. For me, I tend to internalize stress, right? So for me to be aware that I'm stressed, it usually takes me a while, unless I slow down and stop to consider it, because I can keep on going. I definitely can keep on going unless I slow down. And you won't necessarily see it in my face or in my body that I'm stressed. I don't necessarily reflect it. But similar to Alan, I do tend to get short and snappy when I get stressed. Maybe my sleep will be interrupted and I'll wake up in the middle of the night, which is not usual. I'm a heavy sleeper, and I can usually sleep really well. But my sleep will be interrupted, or I'll just wake up feeling tired or exhausted, like my mind didn't actually get a time to rest. And in different ways, right? But again, that topic of awareness. So as we look into Psalm 131, and if you have your Bible, so I encourage you to open it with me. Psalm 131. And you can leave it open, and we're going to camp out there. If you have a journal or a notebook with you and something to write, I encourage you to take that out too. As after a brief explanation, we are going to enter into a time of personal reflection. And again, ladies, I recognize that what we're discussing may feel heavy, right? And it may, in some ways, make you feel overwhelmed, because I'm bringing, in some way, stress right to the forefront of your mind. I'm allowing you to think about something that is not necessarily easy, but hang on with me. This is not the end of our time together, okay? So Psalm 131, amen? That first verse, it says, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me." I'm going to read it one more time. "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me." So first, the two words that the psalmist says, what are they? O Lord. He's addressing this psalm directly to his God. He's engaging in a private conversation with the God who he knows is his salvation, with the God who he knows is listening to him, with the God who he knows cares for him. So as we engage in the next few lines of this text, I want to remind you what I said in the prayer. If you are in Christ, you are known by the great and almighty God. If you are in Christ, you are so, so, so loved. You have no idea. You still have not fully yet comprehended his vastness and his fullness and how much he satisfies every area of your life. That's why you're still here, just to be able to get it a little bit more, just like me. And he knows you. He knows your heart. He knows what's in your mind. You are not alone. So we are engaging in these conversations out of a standing of, oh, you are so loved, dear sister. So do not be afraid of walking in. He will sustain you and he will guide you. Amen. David in this psalm is doing the same thing. He is addressing it first and foremost to God. Oh, Lord. And it is thought that David right now is in a, the English phrase. I love when I can use English phrases. David is in a pickle. yes. I did it. yay! For if you don't know, English is my second language, and idioms are hard, guys. They are hard. But David appears to be in a pickle. David appears to be in a very difficult situation. That's what I mean. Saul is supposedly accusing David of wanting to usurp, of wanting to steal away his throne, and has started this campaign to go after David, right? This is what theologians think may be happening around the context of this psalm. So David is like, his life is in danger now. David was a shepherd in the field that God saw and chose to become the next king over Israel. God chose him. God chose to anoint him to become king. Saul was the present king over Israel. And he was not very happy, right? That someone was supposedly going to take away his throne. I mean, you could imagine someone taking away your throne. You may not be happy about that either. So then David's life is in danger. They're coming after David. David's response to the chaos is, oh, Lord. David's response to the circumstances is to recognize the God who called him, the God who has promised that throne to him, the God who already spoke and told him, this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to do in your life. And he chooses to slow down and just address him, oh, Lord. And then he assesses his heart. That first verse says, my heart, my eyes, I do not occupy. It's a consideration of the heart, the eyes, the mind. Where's my heart in this chaotic moment, in this moment of stress, in this circumstance? And he is, wow, I don't know if I can say often, my heart is not lifted up. My heart is not proud. But he is assessing his heart before his God. And that's his assessment. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not raised to high. I'm not being arrogant here. I'm not thinking of myself too highly. I'm not being haughty. I do not occupy myself. I do not get involved. I do not concern myself. I do not worry about things that are too great or too marvelous for me. When will I get the throne? When will David stop chasing me? When will my life be okay? When will you make your word come to pass? I do not occupy myself, I do not concern myself with things that are too great. I have no control over those things. You do, O Lord. I'm not concerning myself with these. That is a verse that invites slowing down and reflecting. So as we consider those three, just those three lines, right? My heart is not proud. One of the questions that I want us to consider is, hey, when are we tempted? Or where are we tempted to compare ourselves to others? Where are we tempted to look at the success or the life that another has and use that as a standard of, this is where I should be. This is what I should be doing. This is what my life should look like. Or this is what this assignment should look like, right? I should be getting this grade in this class. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. Like, where are we tempted to compare ourselves? Or instead of being high, you may be low like me. It's like, man, I'm just never going to measure up to that person. I'm just worthless, right? Can be tempted in that direction too. So where are you tempted to compare yourself? Where are you tempted to fear? To fear man, man's response, man's disappointment, man and woman, I mean there, right, humans. Where are you tempted to fear failure? Where may you be tempted to become arrogant, to have a very difficult time to ask for help? Where may that be tempting, right? And where do you see your mind being occupied? Like Leah, thank you so much for your willingness to share, right? That you're constantly just thinking of all of the what ifs. What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? And usually towards the negative side, right? Do we have any control over that what if? Are we able to know it even if we consider it at 3 a.m? Right? Where does our mind tend to go towards? And again, ladies, we're going to engage now in a time of personal reflection for about 5 minutes. And in it, though, I'm going to remind you of those first two words of the psalm, "Oh Lord." We're not going to remain there. Know that there's grace for you this morning. This is not meant to be an exercise for you to be condemned, for you to feel even more overwhelmed by what's coming up to your mind or to your heart. Not at all. This is meant to be a moment where we honestly and genuinely assess our hearts before Christ. That we come before the God who knows us and loves us and allow our hearts to slow down to consider, hey, what may be going on in there? That we can bring it before our Lord and our Father. Yes? So now there's a half sheet that you received and it says journaling number 1. And it just asks the same questions that I just said out loud. So if you have a notebook or a pen or if you need extra paper, feel free to raise your hand and I'll come and grab you some. And there's pens also on the table. I'm going to play soft music in the background. And you're welcome. And I'm going to sit and do this with you. And for the next 3 to 5 minutes, we're just going to have some time to reflect, to slow down. You've taken out your paper, you've taken out your pen. Now just look at me for a minute. Take a very deep breath. Now we can start. Now that we have that in some ways in the forefront of our minds, and just a caveat here, if today is already super overwhelming, you're like, I can't write, think, that's okay. Feel free to just sit, receive, talk to your God. That's all right. Don't feel like this is an expectation of you have to write at least 3 sentences on that paper. No. I don't want to be a source of stress in your life. I bet we already have a lot of those. But it's okay. No worries. Yeah? So looking at that first one, we just have a few questions there that we can bring before God to raise and to grow in our awareness of our current state, of how is our heart, right? As we look into our hearts, as we look into our eyes, as we look at our minds and what we're occupying ourselves with. And yet, the psalm doesn't end there. Praise God. We go into this verse 2 that begins with a pivotal word. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And weaning is a process of pretty much going from one source of food to the other, right? If the child was being breastfed, then It can be weaning the child to a bottle or weaning a child to solid food, right? The child was in the bottle, then weaning that child into solid food. So it's that process of, in some ways, originally, like stopping from breastfeeding, moving into that solid food thing. I'm going to be learning about that. I've got no idea. But some of you here may have experienced that, may have seen that, or may have evidenced someone going through that process. So big group discussion time. Whoever has had the opportunity of seeing that or watching that process, would you mind just sharing briefly also what did you get to see about the mother? What did the mother do, and what did the child contribute in that weaning relationship? Has anybody had that chance? Maybe? Martha.
Okay, you're right. Thank you for the correction. So this verse has meant a lot to me for a long time. And I'm not sure that I experienced this so much with weaning my children. But the concept that I've understood is that a weaned child is one that's not on the level of demanding. When you're nursing a baby, when that baby wants it, you give it. It's on demand, and it's a 24/7 job for the mother. Whereas a weaned child can be distracted. A weaned child isn't always someone that says that doesn't want things, but could be distracted and basically is content with anything, not necessarily content with what they want, which is, I want milk now. And so the concept, if I'm making any sense, is that they can be literally on your chest and not grabbing your, you know, it's just, they're easily distracted, they're easily filled with love, they receive better what you have to give them, because they don't just want that one thing. So.
Thank you.
So my oldest daughter just recently weaned her one-year-old, and we were talking about this exact verse, because as soon as he was finally weaned, he had been one that had been screaming for milk in the middle of the night, and it was easier just to give in to him. So he finally was weaned, and Rachel's like, he's sleeping through the night now, and oh, it's so nice to just snuggle with him. So anyway, we talked about this exact verse just not 2 weeks ago.
Fresh in your mind. Anyone else? The experience of having seen someone weaning a child? What did that mother do? The child, we already know, contribute the cries and then the calmness in between. I had the opportunity of watching Katie. You might know Katie Boda. In that process with Stavros, it was quite interesting. Definitely an eye-opener. Because it's true, it's amazing to see the change in behavior, right, of the child demanding of like, wow, 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 like, give it to me now. Versus just whenever the mom would come, right, or just sitting in his high chair waiting for that food to be, and that guy can eat. Stavros got some appetite. He's so cute. So, but he would just like, and then just start grabbing and like eating that solid food. My middle sister just had, in July, her first child, and I had a chance of visiting them, and he had a subtle cry to ask for milk. He was like, I'm like, wow, this is such a nice kid, you know? It's like you can barely hear him. It was really nice, like he would barely cry. But now he's being moved into like solid foods, which to me is like, what in the world? That's really fast, but he's so big. And just seeing that process and getting to see pictures and videos of it has been quite sweet, right? But David engages with this image of like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me, to give us a picture of that calmness and quietness, right? So the mother at the beginning, right, is contributing the sustenance for that baby, right? The baby sees mom and it's like, this is food. There was a couple that we know that someone and I had the privilege of being at their home. And they were saying that the girl would just wake up in the middle of the night screaming. Because she wanted to be fed, and the dad would be the one to pick the girl up. And the girl would just scream even more. It's like, wah, wah, dad, like, you're not my mom, like, you're not going to do anything. So he would just bring the screaming child to the mom and be like, I'm sorry, here she goes. And just bring it to the mom, and then the baby would come, right? And it was just so hilarious of, like, what is dad going to do? Like, he can't feed me, right? He's like, I need my mom, like. So it was just this idea, this concept of the kid of, like, I need to scream in order to be fed, right? It's like, I need this, I need this, I need this, I want it now. And as a child is in that process, is learning to trust that mom, is learning to know, like, the food will come, right? You will be provided for. Then there's this calmness and quietness of waiting, right? Of, oh, it's okay. I don't have to scream and pant and, like, do a tantrum here to get my mom's attention. She knows what I need. She will provide, right? So in this beautiful image that David is bringing for us, right, what does that look like for our lives, right? So very practically, as I'm going through this period of stress, right, we're still in the middle of it, still haven't heard back, visa's still not in the paper. Anytime that we get any letter from USCIS, we're like, oh, this is it, or at least that's me. He's more cautious and like, let's wait and see. And I'm like, no, this is it, let's do it. What do I do, right? Where do I turn to? And Edward asked me that question, like, point blank the other day when we were discussing about this topic. And what came to my mind is one of the verses that I love is Psalm 104. It's not 4, it's 3. Psalm 103. 4 is enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's what I hope I would be doing, but that's not what I'm doing. It's verse 3, recognize or know that the Lord is God. In Spanish, it's reconocer, which means recognize that he is God. So I have to look up to the person, right? In the middle of my stress, I'm going to tell you 3 P's. It's first look at the person, right? Who is the mother? Who is the mother of this child, right? Who are we being asked in some ways to consider? Who is the mother here, right? What do we need to know about God in order to be like a weaned child? What do I need to recognize? What do I need to know about who my God is? Well, for me, it helps me a lot to know that it is he who made me. I didn't make myself. I didn't even have control over that. He was the one who made me. He is God. I am his. I am sheep of his pasture. I have an owner, a master, a Lord. I have a Father in heaven. So it helps me to remember who is my God. So going back to the person, right? Who is the mother in that psalm? And then going back to the promises. For me in this case, it's been that Psalm 103, right? What is the word that you have stored in your heart? What is the word that you're engaging with on a daily basis? How are you encountering God through his word? What does he promise you that would then remind you of, like, oh, God is a faithful provider. He said that he'd seek first my kingdom, and I will provide everything else for you. In Christ, you have received all that you need for life and godliness. What are the promises that he has already given to us through his word that reminds us that the person, the God who is giving us these promises, will fulfill his promise? What is the sustenance for your life? The word of God, right? So the person has provided that promise, has provided his word for us to rely on, and that then changes, or hopefully will help us. Engage then in a different perspective over our circumstances. With David, again, he could have focused and have the perspective of, like, my life is being threatened. I need to run. I need to hide. But his perspective right now is like, oh, no. Oh, Lord, you are God. You are the one who is doing this. You're the one who will tell me when it is my time to be on that throne. I'm not even going to go against Saul. I'm not even going to attempt against his life. He's the king that you anointed before me. So the reverence that David had before his God was quite marvelous. And it gave him a different perspective over his chaos, over his circumstance, over his present stress, over his anxiety, right? So instead of me dismissing, avoiding, suppressing, or just trying to, like, go, 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 so I don't have to even think about my stress, what does it look like to slow down to engage with the person? Who is my mother? Who is my God? What do I know and believe about him through the sustenance that he's already provided in his promises, in his word? And how does then that give me perspective to engage with my stress? to allow my worry to subside of like, oh, the future definitely is unknown. Yet, you should be excited about what I'm about to do. I am caring for you. You're about to count your blessings. So get ready, right? It just gives perspective into the situation. So as we go into this next time of journaling, which will be a little shorter because I'm running out of time, the same questions remain, right? Who is your mother? And what is the food, right? But I want you to answer that in a very personal way, right? If you do not yet know God, then the answer to that may be different, right? But I would love for you to consider it and to think about it. Who are you going to for calmness, for peace, to find release of stress? If you are in Christ, what do you know personally about him? What do you know about your God? What characteristics, attributes do you know about him? And how does he provide sustenance for you? For me, it was that Psalm 103. What is it for you in this moment? And if there's nothing that comes to mind, hey, that's okay. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's okay. We're about to enter into a verse. Maybe that will be the one for you. Okay? So I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes to just think and pray through those. As you finish writing those last few words, I'll read again verse 2. I'll start with verse 1. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Ladies, you are able to take that paper with you, so I would encourage you, if you'd like more time, to think through those and consider them later. But just wanted to remind you of two things, right? In that verse 2, that but, right? Instead of giving in to the situation, David is choosing to come before his Lord to pray, to consider who he is, right? And then how does that calm and quiet his soul? How does that give him perspective into the situation? How does the Word of God help us to have perspective into what's going on in our lives and the world around us? And also the concept of it's a weaning of a child, right? It's a process. It's something that is learned. It's not something that comes naturally to us. So please do not be frustrated with yourself. On the contrary, extend to yourself a lot of grace. It's like prayer. Prayer is learning to talk with a great and almighty King, with our God, who's also our Father. It's something that we learn. So as you engage with these questions, as you go through this journaling process, know it's a learning experience, right? So today, it's just one day. Try it again next few days. And if you have more questions, feel free to come to me and ask. But to end this time and enter into the table discussion, let's look at that verse 3, right? It says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. One more time. And please, I'm going to say the O, and you can insert your name in there. O, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So David goes into this kind of declaration of like, hey, hope in your God. Look to him, not only today in this circumstance, but from this moment forever, right? So what hope does the Lord provide for us? What hope do we have in him? And this psalm may not necessarily give it to us, right? But this Sunday, tomorrow, Pastor Mark, yes, it's him, he's going to be walking us through the end of Galatians 2. And in that document, I've put Galatians 2:20 that says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So as we go into this time of table discussion, actually, you guys are going to come up with this last point, right? What hope do we learn through Christ, right? What does this verse teach us about who Christ is? What do we observe about us then in light of this text? And how does that in some ways tie in with this hope in the Lord? How does that give us hope and perspective into our lives, right? How does Galatians 2:20 and Psalm 131 enable me to calm and quiet our souls when we're tempted to stress? right? So let's look to Christ in this moment to be like, what do we learn about him through this verse? And how does this impact the way that then we kind of deal with stress? And as you do that, I do want to remind you, right? So in that first journaling experience, I'm hoping that you're taking with you just some diagnostic questions, questions that you can take home to slow down and consider. How can I get to know what's in my head and my heart? What am I occupying my mind with? Just consider some of those questions and asking them, not only now, but at any other point when you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious. And number two, remember just those three P's, right? Who's the person, right? What are his promises? And then how does that give perspective, right? Just one way of us to counter stress biblically, for us to engage with stress biblically, is don't suppress the feeling, the anxiety, the worry. It's okay. Be a student of it. Learn from it by, okay, Lord, what are you teaching me about what I know about you through this? What am I believing about you that it's in some ways leading me to this stress and to this anxiety? And what are you seeking in some ways to realign in my life through your word? What is your promises? What does your word say is true? And then how does that give us perspective about who God is, about our situation, and about ourselves? Yes? So now, in the time that we have remaining, let's engage in that table discussion with the questions that are provided there for you. And please, don't leave your tables without getting a chance to pray for one another. As you share, please remember to share briefly so that everybody may get a chance to share. Loris will come up in a few minutes and close our time. Yes? Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm.